Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today are two guests from St. Paul, Minnesota. We have Brian Bowden, who's Associate Director and Health Information Management Solutions Lead at Protiviti. And from Fort Collins, we have Kathy DeVault, who's Manager HIM Consulting at UASI. First, Kathy, Brian, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. Happy to join you.
Happy to have you both. So today we're going to be talking about coding and auditing and things like that. And Kathy, why don't we start with you? What do you see as the top auditing risk compliance departments should prepare for in 2022?
Sure. Thanks, Adam. And as we look at 2022, where we are in 2021, and as most HIM professionals, compliance officers will know, a lot of what we do today from auditing will be a carryover into 2021 or 2022, excuse me. Things like the RAC targets, those DRGs that the RAC is looking at, any PEPR targeted DRGs. And then we will continue to have those areas that they're looking at clinical indicators for. And we all know what they are. They're sepsis, malnutrition, congestive heart failure, encephalopathy, acute respiratory failures. Those things that as in those diagnoses as CDI professionals and coding professionals and compliance professionals make us a little crazy because continually working on them. And I can tell you our CDI professionals work really hard with the docs trying to get that documentation just right. And it's not that we're trying to over document anything. We want them to document how sick their patients really are in clear clinical indicators that they're meeting so that we can code correctly. So that's really important. Ongoing too will be COVID. It's a continuing issue. We're still seeing surges across our country, and coding COVID is still can be a little challenging. In fact, I was working on an audit right now where I removed a COVID code because it wasn't correct. So COVID still has some challenges. And now we're into those long haul COVID patients, is those sequela, those patients with ongoing issues related to COVID. We did get a new code for 2022. U09.9, which is post-COVID condition unspecified. And there is a specific guideline associated with the use of that new code. So I would encourage anybody who's looking at using that code to make sure you understand the guidelines associated with it. From an outpatient perspective, I think an outpatient and professional, we should continue to look at auditing the new E&M guidelines that came out in January of 2021 for our providers and make sure we're capturing that documentation correctly according to the new guidelines. One area that we noticed a particular increase in risk is cardiopulmonary rehab. Those serious accounts where we have rehab going on. CMS did a review of 100 cases and they found a 100% error rate. So there's certainly an opportunity to look at those cases and audit, making sure the guidelines from CMS, unlike a lot of areas, is very specific on what needs to be included there. And we're finding high error rates in everything we're reviewing. And then also a last one for me would be HCCs. That continues to be an ongoing audit topic, both on the professional side and the hospital side. Brian, some thoughts?
Yeah, I think I would also just highlight, and this is kind of tied to COVID, but really telehealth encounters, you know, as that has rapidly expanded during the public health emergency in terms of what you can get reimbursed for, not only by Medicare, but all of your commercial payers. And there have just been so many changes around how to code and bill for those. I think it's a really, you know, key area to be auditing in 2022. You know, a lot of organizations said, you know, we did some spot audits in 2021 to make sure we were doing it right during the pandemic. Now a lot of organizations are saying, let's look into 2022 and make sure that we're building out a sustainable telehealth program. We're capturing all the key documentation that needs to be in place. We're coding correctly. We're avoiding errors. And also, as that ties back into things like E&Ms, making sure that, you know, when you're doing telehealth encounters, we know that there's going to be audited by the government as well as your commercial payers, making sure that those level fours and those level fives are really clearly supported by the documentation and the medical record, so you don't get an audit down the road and you have adverse results of that. And then just lastly, tying back to COVID, you know, one thing I wanted to point out that we see a lot of organizations focus on is really the reimbursement for those COVID cases. So when it comes to that 20% bump for Medicare, for inpatient stays for COVID, making sure that you are coding those correctly, making sure that the documentation fully supports that coding. And then also things like the therapies, as well as HRSA submission. So if you are truly submitting claims for HRSA for that reimbursement for uninsured patients, that is being done correctly. You're not accidentally charging the patient, or those patients are truly eligible only for HRSA reimbursement and they don't have any other, let's say, Medicaid eligibility. So just some initial thoughts to tack onto what Kathy outlined.
No, and good thoughts to add. And, you know, we've gone around a lot on COVID related issues. And let me just spend a little bit more time on that. How the continued effects of the public health emergency impacted coding and auditing priorities both this year, and how do you see that looking as we move to 2022?
I'll go ahead, Adam, and jump in there. And I believe with 2022 on the horizon that COVID is still going to be an integral part of our audit processes. You know, Brian brought up some perfect points there, that 20% bump for Medicare, make sure those are being coded correctly. And then we have to have a process for validating the reimbursement. Is the reimbursement correct? And if it's not, what's our process for managing that? The HRSA patients, if I recall correctly, and I'm sorry, I didn't look this up, was there specific guidelines for HRSA related to COVID and sepsis, and it's opposite of what is in our coding guidelines. And so we have to pay attention to payer when we're coding these kind of cases. And generally as coders, and that's been my background for my career, is we're payer agnostic and we try not to pay attention to payer. But COVID has really brought that to the forefront, that we need to look at payer. And again, associated with that, Brian made great points on telehealth, and we're actually collaborating on a project right now where we're having some questions that we're looking for clarification on, because the telehealth guidelines were changing so rapidly in 2020. And we think it's stable as far as the guidelines, mostly around place of service and the modifiers associated with telehealth. But now we're seeing some, not necessarily changes, but we're seeing some places do it differently. And we want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that a particular institution hasn't received specific guidance from a specific payer. And I would recommend any organization that you're doing telehealth audits, make sure who's ever doing your audit, whether it's internal or external, that they're fully aware of any specific guidance you've received, because we found individual guidance a little bit different between different organizations. The payers aren't always following them exactly because those conversations they're having with organizations. And the best thing you can do for an auditor is give them every piece of information they need to successfully audit the scope of that particular work. I think in 2022, again, the long haulers, that new COVID term for the long haulers that have the long-term complications associated with COVID, is making sure those are getting coded and paid correctly. And we want to make sure we're identifying that these are post-COVID patients. And I believe COVID, as I said earlier, should continue to be part of the audit focus. We're still pretty knee deep in COVID from a healthcare perspective. We want to make sure that organizations don't lose sight of monitoring both the coding and the reimbursement associated with COVID-19. Brian.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that really clearly indicates or illustrates the fact that COVID is still very much important when it comes to compliance and auditing is the fact that the OIG currently has over 40 audits on their work plan pertaining to COVID and telehealth. A lot of those have to do with clinical documentation, coding, and billing. So it's a very high focus. It's not going away. It's something we need to continue to closely monitor. And then I think, you know, the other thing, just, you know, as you move away from just thinking about kind of coding audit or audit topics, is really how that might be impacting, the pandemic might be impacting workforce. So we have heard of workforce shortages when it comes to coders and coding audit staff just across the country, you know, as, you know, the entire country has worked through, you know, workforce shortages. So keeping that in mind, as well as if you're relying on overseas coders, if a country has a surge, they might be shutting down, that might be impacting your normal workflows from a coding perspective, and that we don't see, stopping anytime soon, unfortunately. So really managing both those audit topics, as well as managing, how your workforce is changing, is going to be crucial.
Now, Brian, what action should HAM and compliance departments take to adapt to the changing risk and priorities in 2022?
Yeah, so the first thing I would definitely say HIM teams and compliance teams should be thinking about is how should they be leveraging data analytics to be more agile and more risk-based? How can they use data to target encounters or claims that have a higher risk of potential errors? So instances in which there's only one CC or MCC on the claim, or instances in which a particular provider is always dropping fives, but other providers within his specialty or her specialty are always dropping twos and threes for their E&Ms. Really using data to identify outliers will really help not only ensure that you've got confidence, you've got internal controls, your coding is correct, but allows you to do kind of more with less when you are targeting areas that you really should be. And then the next thing I would say is make sure that compliance and HIM are really closely collaborating with other departments, not just within the revenue cycle, but also with your medical staff, for example. Compliance should really be closely working with revenue integrity, operational coding, CDI, your EMR optimization teams. One, to make sure you're not duplicating efforts. So, maybe revenue integrity is auditing the same thing compliance auditing. Well, that's kind of a waste of effort. Two, making sure you're leveraging data from other departments like revenue integrity or CDI, for example. And making sure that your ideas around your audit plans and methodologies make sense. They are aligned with what other components of the organization are doing. And three, just closely collaborating with these departments will make it so much easier, once you've conclude an audit, to develop corrective action plans, collaboratively and get their buy-in. And of course, you can't forget kind of your medical leadership, your physician advisors, making sure they're on board and helping you with these types of audits, because they're really key in ensuring that, any type of documentation changes or behaviors is translated to the clinical community that's really doing the bulk of that documentation.
Now, speaking of leadership, have you seen any changes in how hospital leadership is addressing clinical documentation and coding risk recently?
Yeah, fortunately for HIM, coding, and CDI teams, hospital leadership is paying more and more attention to coding and clinical documentation. And that's really because, they're moving away from this idea of just thinking about, did we get that right DRG? Did we get that right payment? And they're now more focused on things like quality data. So we see, whether it's, specific plans or payers, or whether it's external quality ranking organizations, they're really leveraging coding data to do things like risk adjustment. And that impacts the organization overall. So we've seen, your CFOs, your financial leadership, as well as your medical staff leadership become more and more involved and really want to understand, how coding is impacting everything from, the plans to, the reputation of the organization. It's also a really good opportunity to closely engage your medical leadership now, because your medical leadership is going to care a lot more about, how are we demonstrating the acuity of the patients that we serve and the quality of care that we give, and how is that being reflected externally, than they are going to be around, do we get the right DRG or that right APC? So it's a great opportunity right now, and it's a time that compliance and coding should really be jumping on that and collaborating closely with hospital leadership.
And one of the things I would add on that is what we're seeing is more emphasis on hospital-based outpatient CDI is mm-hmm. really developing those programs and finding where the opportunities are in the hospital outpatient setting. A key one there is that cardiopulmonary rehab is where the CDI opportunities. So I think hospital leadership is coming around to there is some return on investment on doing hospital-based outpatient CDI. They've seen the success on the inpatient side, and they're now looking for that same success on the outpatient side.
Yeah, that's a great example of the growth beyond just thinking about inpatient. And I think it's something really important. We've seen a lot of health systems really start to develop and mature their outpatient CDI programs, seeing significant returns because of those programs development.
Well, Brian, Kathy, thank you both for the insights about what's going on now and what's likely to be coming down the road. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletail from SCCE and ATCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.